Good morning.
Good morning.
With reverence to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, certainly with much love and respect for our bishop, our rectors, and other members of clergy that we have the privilege of being blessed by their servant leadership. I have benefited greatly from being led by them and being amongst you. I stand this morning near tears. I stand this morning with a lot of conflict and sadness in my heart, and that is because I've been blessed by God with an opportunity to have a dream job, but it requires that at least for the next 6 months that I live in Phoenix City, and by contract I will have to work sometimes up to 28 days in a row without a day off. And so I won't have the opportunity to be among you, as I've just have gotten spoiled and used to being with you. But I ask that you pray for us. And I say us because Loretta and I live a we life. We really believe that God brought us together as one. We believe that. And we don't live apart from each other in any way. But I received that word that came down from Brother Graham Cook, that this is an opportunity once again for God to manifest that he is able. I ask those of you who have your Bibles to please turn with me to Acts, the first chapter, and there we're going to focus on the 8th verse. That's Acts 1 and 8. Brother Dan, I got my stopwatch here, so I'll try to be timely in delivering this word. Amen.
No. What you need to do, your time. We're here. Amen.
And there you will find these words. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know, as Father Don was praying for me, he had been given an insight by the Holy Spirit why this word, this opportunity for me to speak to you had been delayed. And if you look in Acts, the first chapter, you'll see that, for instance, in verse 2, that it says, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. And going on in verse 3, it says, after his suffering, he presented them himself alive to them by many convincing proofs. This is after Easter Sunday. This is after Resurrection Sunday. And what the Lord has given me to talk to you about is the benefits of being a believer. And I've been really confused why God would want me to share that. And I thank God for you, Sister Jean, because he cleared it up in an instant. See, a lot of us understand Christianity in a lot of theological ways. But if I can be honest, and I think I can, and I've gained great encouragement from Father Terry in this area, really when it comes to theology, I just don't care.
Amen.
And it really didn't happen to me until I got to seminary. And I got to seminary and I came to understand that theology, theo, of God, ology, study of God, wasn't worth nothing. Because you can study something all day long, that don't mean you know it. I don't know about you, but there were quite a few subjects in school I could study all day long. I'm going through that right now in my training. My manager says that the training I'll be going through for the next 3 months is like trying to drink water out of a fire hydrant, and I get it. And it's kind of hard after you've been retired for 10 years to try to get back in work mode, but by the grace of God. See, all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. That's one of the benefits of being a Christian. One of the things that people really don't share is the fact that Christianity is a relationship with God that will always work to your benefit. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how healthy you are. And I don't care how sick you are. God will always love you to your benefit. And Brother Cook has said it honestly. It's not always easy to love us to our benefit. I think this morning of the children of Israel who really had a very short journey. The journey took 40 years, not because of distance, but because of relationship issues, heart issues. Some of us, and when I say us, didn't I include me in us? Some of us have struggled with things that we could have gotten over a long time ago if we had been willing to get in the right frame of mind. If I can put it real plainly, if we had had the humility to use the freedom of will that God gave us to understand that God loves us, and when he tells us not to do something, he knows best, but because we wanted to do it, we ended up suffering and walking around groping. You know, groping is when you're in the utter darkness that you can't even see your hand in front of your face. The sad thing, the thing that breaks my heart more than anything as a pastor, what breaks my heart is seeing children that were raised by godly parents become so rebellious and unappreciative of the opportunity of having a relationship with God all their life that they're so busy rebelling that they're suffering from situations that they never had to get into. One of the biggest situations that breaks my heart are girls that are raised up in churches going out having sex with guys that aren't in churches and then catching diseases and having issues with these guys the rest of their life because that's the father of their child. When I understand that the Holy Spirit was in their life all along to comfort them and counsel them and take them into deep and secret things and take them through life, and they never would have had to have any of those issues. And I want to make that plain that why that's such a sore spot with me, because that happened to my very daughter. And as much as I love my two grandchildren, it still breaks my heart to see my daughter, who we studied the word of God with, who I laid hands on, whose room I would walk into in the middle of the night and anoint her head with oil, still drag herself down beneath her calling in God. Christianity is a relationship. And I remember the night I knew my baby was in serious trouble. Because she said, "Dad, God came into my room it was a bit light in my room, and God started talking to me, Dad, and I told him to go away. I didn't want that. I had kind of had that suspicion, because every time I came in the house, we had on BET 106 in Park. We had all of that heathen stuff that was not of God. That was the battle we had with her. You're constantly trying to make me something I don't want to be. That was the struggle. She wanted to be like everyone else. Well, I got news for you. If you're going to be a child of God, you are called to be part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people. We are not like everyone else. You have not been called to be typical. You are the salt of the earth. You are the flavor in life. You are a light that sits upon a hill. I'll never forget a story that I was told as a young teenager. And the story was about a man that would walk down the street every day. The man would walk up and down the street every day. He never spoke to anyone. He never did anything out of the way. And one day, a person that was seeing the man for the first time asked someone on the porch, "Who is that man?" And the person says, "I don't know. He walks by every day. He never says anything. But one thing I can tell you about him, he's a Christian." We are challenged. We are challenged to live a life to deal with common circumstances in an uncommon manner. We are called to speak hope to the hopeless, to be fathers and mothers to the motherless and fatherless. Every one of us was born with unique fingerprints, unique talents and abilities and anointings to do something unique in the kingdom of God. Our daily desire should be to pray to God to help us to redeem the time in such a way that we utilize these talent and ability to forward God's purpose, which is that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You will not always understand it. Amen. God does not owe you understanding. Some parents know exactly what I'm talking about. It is not God's job to make you understand everything. It is your job to develop a relationship with God that you love him, respect him, and trust him enough that you say, "Yes to your will, Lord. Yes to your way, Lord. Yes, I will go all of the way." We had a motto in the Coast Guard. And the motto was, "You must go out though you may not come back." We tell folks not to go out and do things, they do it anyway. And then they're calling for help. And our job is to go against all logic and rationale and self-serving, self-preservation feelings and go out and save someone. Well, I believe that God has called us to do the same thing in a very dangerous and wicked world. The Bible has made it plain that we're coming into a time that if God did not step in, mankind will utterly destroy themselves. You have been born into this time. Therefore, you have from God what is necessary to minister to these people at this time. I stand here in my last 30 seconds to challenge you to a holy boldness. Amen. Amen. I challenge you to step out and trust God. Not too long ago, and at my age, not too long ago, can be 10, 20 years now. I was in a situation, having gotten out of the Coast Guard, that I was living 8 doors away from my mom in my best friend's parents' basement. And I got up one Sunday morning, and I opened the refrigerator, and there was no food in the refrigerator. So we went to church hungry. And when I got in the car, it was on E already. No gas, no food. And as I was driving my family to church, I told God, I said, I'm not going to go up the street and ask my mama for anything, because you are my shepherd. And I've been telling men and women, boys and girls, that the Lord is my shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Me and you are going to get an understanding today. Me and you, that's what I mean by boldness. I have a relationship with God. I tell him exactly what's on my mind. He's big enough. So whatever is sticking in your craw and causing you problems and having a breakthrough to be where God wants you to be, get it out. He's big enough. I got news for you. Your arms are really too short to box with God, but you can try if you want to. I tried him, and I understand that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but if you want to find out, go ahead. And so I got to church, and I got to church, and all through service, you know, I'm in this Baptist church that Father Don, and the next thing I know, I'm speaking in tongues. Well, Baptists don't go for that. But I've just lost my mind to God. I'm serious about this. I'm going to find out if God is able. And they said the next thing they knew, people were chasing me all around the church because I had just flipped out, and I was running all around the church babbling and praising God and getting on my knees, and they tried to grab me, and I jump up and I run some more. They said they found me in a back room in the church just babbling, and they were so scared they couldn't come in there. They just stood out and waited for me to come to. The next morning, I received 2 checks for over $2,000 that I can't tell you to this day why I received those 2 checks. But I believe that it was a trial that I had to go through. It was an understanding that I had to come to between God and myself, to learn to trust and obey, to learn and believe that when God says that he's going to come at noontime, don't even look for him at 11:59 and 59 seconds. Look for him at 12 o'clock. Some of you are going through something right now. God did not promise you flowery beds of Eve. He didn't promise you that you were never going to be unhappy or uncomfortable. What he promised you was that he would never leave you and he would never forsake you. And how would you know that if you never felt left or forsaken? Even his son cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he persevered. And I challenge you to persevere so that you, like him, can say, it is finished. And may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you.